Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. This is the big match playoff preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me here in the studio at the Valley as we get ready to gear up for the first leg of the playoff semi-final with Doncaster Rovers is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah,
me too. That's how I'm doing.
I don't really know, to be honest.
Basically, just to sum up where I am at the moment, I started off by moaning to Tom that the week's going a little bit too slow for my nerves. By the end of it, I was moaning that the minute between 6:59 and 7 o'clock is going a little bit too slow for my nerves because that minute dragged on forever. I just want this week to be over. I just want this horrible situation that is the Football League playoffs to be over successfully, please. On tonight's show, we will try and it's like a group therapy session. I've said it before on this show. We're all nervous. We're all desperate to get to Wembley. We're going to do it as a group. We're going to talk about it as a group. We're going to say how we feel. You know, try and support each other through this. We're going to hear our views ahead of the game. Of course, we're going to look back at our previous three games with Doncaster so far this season. We're going to hear from the runner-up and the third place in the Player of the Year, Navi Sarr and Josh Cullen. They spoke to us at the Player of the Year dinner on Sunday evening and talked about the playoffs and of course their own seasons, so we'll hear from them. An exclusive interview, Liam Hoden from the Doncaster Free Press is going to tell us how Donny are doing ahead of it. How are they feeling coming into a game with, you know, the informed side in League One, which is Charlton Athletic? We're going to try and discuss what we do know from team news. Press day hasn't happened as of yet on Thursday. Lee Bowyer's doing that on Friday, so we haven't got too much extra from last week, but we'll discuss what we know. If we have time, which we might try and squeeze it in, Roland Adesay this week. Try not to think about it too much, but we will address it. And finally, you know, this is a really important week for the Charlton family, and there's no one else who is as big a part of the Charlton family than Kim Dixon, the Charlton Athletic supporter, who's captained the women's team for years and years, works for the Community Trust as well. She's a massive part of this club, and she got an award for her services to the club and to women's football. So we'll hear briefly from her as well towards the end of the show. If you want to have your say on tonight's show, you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk or you can tweet us at Charlton Live. Have your say on the Charlton Live forum as well. Like I say, it's group therapy. Everyone's involved. Everyone's excited. Everyone can explain how they're feeling as we go into the biggest game here. The biggest game for Charlton since last year when we were also in the playoffs and it went horribly wrong, and that's why we're all nervous. Tom, I'm nervous. You look nervous too.
Just ridiculous. Yeah, and every time I start to forget about the game, there'll be another tweet that crops up about the sales or that video that's doing the rounds that Sky have put out or something that just brings it all back and reminds me we've got to face this on Sunday. And like you said, the time's just going slow. I want it to be now. I want it to be over. This is awful. And I didn't feel like this last year because, as I've mentioned on a few previous pods, I didn't feel that expectancy. And I think you and I mentioned it earlier in the week on a WhatsApp group that we almost expect to go there and win now. And it's not going to be like that. It is going to be a close game. It's going to be cagey because it's the playoffs and because Doncaster are a good side. But because we're on such good form now, if we were neutrals or we weren't Charlton fans, we'd be looking at this thinking, well, Charlton should go there and should get a result. But obviously, because it's your own club, you just can't think like that. And the expectancy has just got me. Yeah, I just don't really know how I'm feeling at the moment.
I just did a bit just before we came on air on Charlton Live with one of the Portsmouth local radio stations that covers their club, and they're talking to someone from each of the sides in the playoffs, and they said exactly what you just said, you know, and they're saying exactly what the Sunderland fans were saying on their forum when I was having a look last week before the game with Rochdale. teams wanted to avoid us because we're flying. You know, we finished third. I mean, that is over the course of a 46 game season, we are the third best team in League One. You know, it doesn't matter that we literally only jumped into third for the first time in that season on the last day. It's the points that you get over the course of the season. We are a big draw in this. Interesting to see how Donny is seeing it as well, which we'll hear from Liam Hoden from the Doncaster Free Press up there later on in the show, as I said. But the fact that teams wanted to avoid us, and the fact that the Portsmouth guy who I was chatting to said exactly what you said, as a neutral, they're expecting us to smash Doncaster over two legs. And we're going to go there with a, consciously or subconsciously, with a level of expectation that is dangerous as a supporter, because we probably won't go there and win 4-0 on Saturday, which is sort of how people are sort of talking in hushed tones, because we've played really well. We've beaten some really good teams over the last few weeks. We've beaten Portsmouth. We've beaten, you know, Luton Town. We've ended that spell they've been on. We've beaten some good teams, and we've smashed some small teams as well. But this is the playoffs, and this is a Doncaster side who are the sixth best team in League One over the course of a season, and who've got some very dangerous players. So we just need to remember, if at half an hour, you know, we're 1-0 down or it's 0-0, don't be shocked, because this is a good team. We need to try and temper our expectations. We can be confident, but let's not be overconfident. We believe, we respect.
Yeah, yeah.
As Nathan said on Twitter all week, I've been desperate to get that in. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well played. I think we've scored 18 goals in our last eight games, which is over two goals a game. We've won 7 out of 8. You look at it all on paper, it says we're going to win these games, but the game's not played on paper. And we talked about it on Sunday's pod at Player of the Year, and the players mentioned it, Lee himself mentioned it. Form goes out of the window for the playoffs, and we have to respect Doncaster because they are a good side. They've got the likes of Malik Wilkes and John Marcus, who are dangerous players. They caused us real trouble up there last time, and I think we all agreed over the weekend that if we come back from there, even with a 1-0 defeat or a draw, you look at that and you think, right, home is the place to turn it on, because that's where we've been banging in goals for fun over the past few games. That's not even a given, but there's just so much, as I say, so much expectancy now. The way we've been playing, I don't think it's just me. It feels very, very different to how it did when we got into the playoffs last year. The players on Sunday came across differently to last year. Last year almost felt like a bit of a surprise and a bit of excitement and, well, this is going to be an experience, whatever happens. And this year, you know, you had the likes of Prattley coming on and saying, you know, enjoy the experience, focus. That you could see it in their eyes, they were focused. Lyle said the same thing. You know, I asked him, has he thought about that goal at Wembley? He said, no, I'm thinking about Doncaster. That they seem so focused, they seem so ready for it. And last year, I felt like we were all just so pleased to get there. But this year, it doesn't feel like that journey's done. It feels like we're part of the way there. And that expectancy is causing the nerves. But yeah, you ask anyone who knows anything about the football in this league, or anyone who just looks at the form tables, and they would be backing Charlton. And I guess we have to do the same and try and put our football fan nervousness to one side. But it's definitely not going to be an easy game by any stretch.
Certainly not. Tom there was, of course, mentioning some of the interviews we had with players at the Player of the Year dinner on Sunday. I mean, our show's been downloaded loads already, but if you haven't heard it as well, after you've listened to this one, go back to the Player of the Year dinner podcast in your podcast feed or on the Charlton Live website. And I mean, it's a 2-hour show because there was plenty to talk about. But if you just want to listen to the interviews that start after about an hour and 15, I think, on there, maybe an hour and a half, listen to Lyle Taylor, listen to George Lapsley and Darren Prattley, listen to Lee Bowyer, the way they talk about it. I'm going to hear another interview from that dinner later on in the show today with Cullen and with Saar, but listen to how they talk about it compared to how we talk about it as well, which I think is quite interesting. Yeah, because we're both, you know, shaking.
Yeah,
already it's Thursday evening and I've been shaking all week, unfortunately, because I'm pathetic. But I mean, Lyle Taylor, there's no nerves on him, there's no nerves on Georgie Lapsley or Josh Cullen, call this guy in the room. I mean, there's luckily we're not playing, basically.
yeah and as I say, they all look ready, they all look focused. And I remember, like, even watching the Masters the other week when Tiger won, his focus on that last round, you know, he wasn't laughing, he wasn't smiling like we've seen him do. He just bullied the rest of that pack off the course and deservedly won. Our players on Sunday, you know, yes, they were laughing and joking, they were taking pictures with people, but the minute you caught them when they weren't around anyone, you could see that focus in their eyes, you could see that determination. And as I say, all of them spoke the same message. They all said the journey's not over. They all said we are focused on this game. They all talked about how this week has to be a normal week, how they will train in the same way as if it was just another league game. And that level of consistency and the confidence that they have coming off the back of the run we've been on, like I say, I think it's 7 wins in 8 and 18 goals in those games. You know, they've got a right to be confident. Aribo today, if anyone's seen that video on Valley Pass, you know, he just says, well, we're back in and we're training like normal, and why wouldn't we be confident? And of course, as we said right at the start of the pod, you've got to be careful of overconfidence, because we can't underestimate Doncaster. They finished sixth for a reason. They're a very good side. But we finished third, and we finished a lot of points ahead of them. And based on that, you've got to back us to do well. We're going to have a huge support up there as well, which I'm sure we'll talk about later in the pod, and that's going to make a huge difference. Again, as all the players and Boya has referred to, and we've seen it for ourselves at the games we've been at, there's just a feeling around the club that this time is different to last year, and that feeling makes me even more nervous.
Yeah, exactly that. Ev James tweets in saying, I listened back to the Lyle Taylor interview on the Player of the Year Dylan podcast, and if he can continue to keep the great mindset with this great bunch of players, then there is no reason why we can't get to Wembley. Lyle is the image of Clive with the added exuberant personality, goals, and natural for Lyle, and the overall full package. We now have a squad to beat all in front of us. I'm cautiously optimistic we'll do it in similar. I was similar against Ipswich in 98, so let's just do it. Mark Anderson says, just reassure me that this is our time. He says he's becoming an alcoholic wreck, and I think that's going to be me. We're going up to Doncaster on Saturday, a reasonably sized group of us, just because I don't like getting up too early on a Sunday morning, so we're going to stay up there. Which also means that we're going to have time to sit in the pub all afternoon watching the other game. So I'm going to get so exuberant that hopefully I'm going to forget we're playing for
That's a while and just
try and enjoy it. Cliff Scales says, for me, the home leg is key. If we can avoid defeat or get a narrow win in the first leg, I just think we will be too strong at home. Whatever happens, both games will be tough. And we've had 3 tough games already, of course, with Doncaster Rovers this season. I think now maybe let's have a little look back at how our 3 games with Rovers have gone this year, and see if we can try and think that maybe we can take any inklings from those games as to how the playoff games may go. Right, shall we start to look ahead, Donny, coming down to the valley on Saturday to take on Charlton. Charlton
swings it in towards the 6-yard box. It'll flip. Oh, Keyson, Aribo off the ball. Aribo,
yes!
Gets it!
Yes!
Joe Aribo pokes it home for the Addicts. The corner from Josh Collin was initially won by Aribo. Off the bar, deflected back to the central midfielder, who taps it in to make it Charlton 1, Doncaster 0.
Instead clips it towards the back post, and Collin!
That's it! Come on!
Collin Grant has scored! It was a wonderful ball in from Lyle Taylor. It looked like he was going to feed it to Solly, who was going on the overlap, but instead, right-footed, he drifted it in towards the back post. It went over the head of all of the Doncaster players, and there was Collin Grant on the edge of the 6-yard box, unmarked. It looked like he hadn't got enough on his header to direct it in, and it bounced once, and I think the keeper should have done better, because I think the keeper had a chance to palm it round the post, and instead palmed it into his own net. And on, what are we, 32 minutes, and Charlton are 2-0 up.
I thought we was outstanding. They were a good side, Doncaster, and the way we performed there, you would have thought that they was lower in the league than where we are. You know, it's what you just see there, I see every day. And their togetherness and their fight and their want to pass and they tackle, you know, like everything, every part of the game, we won today.
Right, let's turn our attention to Saturday's home game with Doncaster Rovers, second round of the FA Cup.
To be taken by Andrew, chips it into the penalty area. There's a header from Butler, it's come off of Marshall, and it's gone in. And Charlton have conceded a rather soft goal. The corner came in, Butler with the header down. Marshall standing right in front of Phillips, it just comes off his chest and into the back of the net. And Doncaster have the lead.
Levisar's there, it's gone beyond Levisar, it's bended back across, and it's a soft one, and it's Butler again, who's put the header back across and into the net. And Doncaster are 2-0 up.
And there was some positives from today. It was obviously going to be tough. That's their starting 11. And obviously we made, 9 changes from our last league game. So it was always going to be tough, but we learned some valuable things today, and so did some of the players. There's some pros and cons to like everything.
fact that we're going up to Doncaster Rovers to play a game of football. Now, we do need to concentrate on the football.
Cullen with a short turn, quick corner. Vettacalli had made the run. Back to Cullen. Cullen fizzes it across. Yes! It's a goal from John! Josh Cullen with a shot. Marquis, I think, deflected it past his keeper, or maybe even through his legs. But Charlton have a lead. 26 minutes into this second half, Josh Cullen will claim it.
It has to be an own goal, but what a brilliant bit of play from Charlton. It's been coming the last 5 or 6 minutes. Charlton have really stepped it up. They've been fantastic. Chance after chance after chance.
Ball up towards Wilkes. Wilkes shadowed by Purrington, but he gets a shot away.
Oh,
and he scores. Finish.
Phillips is fuming at his defence straight after that change was made, and Doncaster about to bring on two players, but a wonderful finish from Wilkes, who's probably been their most creative player, you'd have to say. He had his back to goal on the edge of the penalty area, and he has had half a second to turn and fire that shot in left-footed. Phillips furious that there weren't Charlton players closer to him. Very little he could do in the Charlton goal. And just 2 minutes after the Addicts are ahead, they find themselves...
Whiteman takes the shot. Whiteman, gets the bar! It's going to drop again to Whiteman. Heads it left to Marquis. Charlton not defending it. Oh, and it's there! Oh, no, it's offside. Oh, the assistant never had his flag up when the ball hit the back of the net.
Nobody. People are just starting to realise around us.
That was at least we deserved today. The first 10 minutes should have been free up. Second half, hit the post. We had chance after chance. We just didn't take chances. They made good blocks, keeper made good saves. Yeah, it looks like one of their fellas who's in and around the 6-yard box, he gambles on the actual shot and then gets a little flick on it because he runs away celebrating, so and he's in an offside position. That's what it looks like on the telly. So I have to say, I thought the ref was very good today. I thought he was a good one.
So there we go. A look back at our three encounters with Doncaster Rovers so far this season. A 2-0 home win in the league back in November. Then we lost 2-0 at home in the FA Cup second round in December. That was, of course, a much changed side from the Addicts. And then we go to Doncaster back in March. We draw 1-1. As you heard there at the end, perhaps there was a little bit of luck in the fact that there was an offside goal that's still debated as to whether it was or wasn't offside. If you ask any Doncaster Rovers fan, I'm sure they'd say that it wasn't. If you ask any Charlton fan, I'm sure they'll try and say, well, it looked like he ran across, whatever. But if you forget the last 15 minutes of that game, we were probably well on top in that game as well, and we should have scored. We should have been 3 or 4 nil up by the time we actually scored. Doncaster had chances in that game. They had a lot of offsides against them, actually, weirdly, in that game for John Marquis as well. So a strange game that certainly you could say we've competed with them when we've played our full team. I guess you're going to say that we're going to have to not count the FA Cup game because they played a strong team and we didn't. So you look at that home game, we were comfortable. You look at the away game, we were more than in it for large spells. So you look at those previous encounters, and again, you're going to take confidence from them.
Yeah, and I think the fact that we finished 15-odd points ahead of them in the league as well, and obviously those results come from playing other teams, but I think that's still relevant too because it shows the respective quality over a period of 46 games. What we, as we've said plenty of times, we have to temper that with the fact that these are one-off games, if you like, but the mentality around the camp is no, they're not one-off games, treat them like any league game. And on that basis, you're right. I think the home game, obviously, as you heard there, I commentated on both, so you obviously watch the game a bit more closely than if you're just in the stands. And
oh, in my case.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But yeah, I certainly the home game, I never felt like we were in any danger of losing that game at all. The away game, they had spells for sure. But as you say, we our tactics certainly forced Marquis into a lot of trouble. He kept getting called offside. And the goal at the end might have been unfortunate from their point of view. But if it is, then that's only one point that we would have dropped. We'd still have finished 14 points ahead of them just with that change, or 13 or whatever the difference would have been. So that doesn't concern me too much either. I think largely, as I said earlier, if you take any stat, any comparison, anything, apart from the fact that I think Marquis made some team of the year and Lyle didn't, which in itself is questionable. We are the better side. There's no two ways about that. Whether that makes any difference when it comes to Sunday is another thing, and how the players handle it and all of those other factors that we can't really measure. That we just can't, you know, put on paper. And as I say, the game's not played on paper. But from that point of view, I do think we have a better side. I do think we're in better form. We finished the season better. All of those things do add up. And if anyone else is feeling like us, I guess that's where you're conflicted, because your head's telling you, well, you should win this game. Your heart's telling you, yeah, but it's my club and I just don't know what's going to happen.
It's never that simple, is it? No. I mean, Charlton are a very different team to the team that played Doncaster at the Valley back in October. Starters, I mean, Carlin scored a goal that day. It's such a crazy situation that we you know, and I've said it over the last few weeks, that despite the fact that we lost a 14 goal striker who was brilliant for us, and he's done well since he's got up to the Premier League as well in a very poor side, I still think we're a better team now than we were then, even when we beat Doncaster comfortably at home. I think we started playing a bit of that better football, in particular by the time we'd gone to Doncaster away. I think Johnny Williams had signed for us. We started passing the ball around a bit nicer. You know, we mentioned that away game where it took us until about the 70th minute to score. We should have scored three or four goals in the first 20 minutes. We had a flurry of chances in the opening stages. Now, you look at that spell of that game, that away game where we took the game to them. I mean, there's no different metric because it's a playoff game, is there? I mean, surely you'd expect Boyer, he's not going to change his style. We're going to go there and we're going to start playing football and try and get into their box nice and early.
Yeah, definitely. I think the tactics will be largely the same. I've just had a quick look at the formation or the lineup as well, and that's pretty much what we'd expect. You've got the Solly, Saar, Bauer, Purrington back four. You've got Bielik in there, Cullen, Aribo, Williams. We'll wait and see what happens with him. And then Taylor and Vetekele. So you'd imagine if Igor's fit, then it will be much the same. If not, you'd imagine similar formation.
Dick still as well for Solly, and that's the only two changes,
exactly,
you'd think.
The difference, I think, is the bench, where both Marshall and Fosu were on the bench. And I think now we've got more strength in depth, not in terms of personnel, but in terms of the performances we're getting out of them same players. So Lapsley was on the bench for that game, didn't come on. Morgan didn't even make the bench. I'm not sure if he was fit. And Marshall and Fosu did. I think if you look at the bench we will have on Sunday, whether Morgan or Lapsley or Reeves or even Prattley make it into the starting 11, the players that we bring off the bench now seem to be having an impact in every single game we play. And that, again, adds to the quality that we've got and the confidence that we should have going into this game. So, yeah, it's it sounds like I'm basically spending this whole hour trying to convince myself we're going to win, when in my heart I just can't quite allow myself to believe it.
I've spent the entire week doing that. I can't say I imagine that any Charlton fans would just listen to whatever the Portsmouth radio station was that I was just on. But I spent the entire 15 minutes I was on going through what we've just done, saying this is why we're so good, this is something we've been really good at recently, this is another thing we're great at. But I don't think we're going to... I'm just scared. It's just bizarre. And it's so hard to try and reconcile how you're feeling about it and how... I don't know if this year as well, there's just that... You know, I wanted to win last year, but this year, because of how much love you have for this team as well and this manager, I'm so desperate for them to win as well. And, you know, I just really want everything to fall into place, which it has over the last few weeks. And I'm so desperate that it happens for them. Right, I need... Oh, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I need 5 minutes to try and recover myself. So I think now is a great time to play another one of our exclusive interviews from the Player of the Year dinner. Now, we've got some really good feedback from our Player of the Year dinner show that we released on Sunday evening. I was so pleased with some of the interviews we had with Lyle Taylor, with Lee Bowyer, with George Lapsley, Darren Prattlin, with Liz Adjupi as well. So we had so many good interviews that we saved one of them for right now. Now, obviously, Lyle Taylor was your Player of the Year for this season, but in second place was Nabi Saar and in third place was Josh Cullen, and we managed to grab both of them at the dinner on Sunday evening.
We're now joined by the runner-up in the Player of the Year award, Nabi Saar. Nabi, congratulations. I mean, that's an award that the fans vote for, so to come in the top two, you must be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I wasn't expecting it, to be honest. So yeah, it comes tonight, so I'm very, very happy.
Yeah, obviously, Lee Bowyer had some very nice words for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, one phrase that he used in particular about when you were first here at the club, and he said you were dead and buried, and the fact that you've come back from that. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no secret about the fact that when you were first here, you didn't get as many games as you wanted. You ended up on loan. So to come back and to put in the performances that you have this season, a lot of people say that takes a lot of character. Do you feel like you've had to work particularly hard to achieve what you have done this year?
Yeah, of course you need to work hard to do what you want to do. But I wanted to prove that to everyone in Charlton that I could play in this team. The first year for me was very, very difficult. I had some time to adapt to the English football because I was coming from Portugal, so it's a different football over there. So, yeah, with time, patience and work, everything go right, so I'm happy right now.
Now, of course, in the second half of this season as well, I mean, you've been keeping Jason Pearce out of the team. And, I mean, Jason Pearce is the captain. If anyone was going to keep him out of the team this time last year, I would have been shocked that anyone could have, because obviously he's been so consistent for the Addicts. So the fact that you've been able to take his place, if you will, I mean, the competition, do you think that makes you a better player?
Yeah, of course. Well, like when you play, you need to play good to keep your position, and when you're not playing, you're just waiting for an opportunity to play to show good. And I think when Jason got this injury, I had this opportunity, and I think I took it well. But it's like I said, this healthy competition between me and him. I think he get us going. So I think it's good.
Excellent. So stay there, Nabi. I'm going to bring in Josh Cullen as well. Josh, you came third in the Player of the Year award. Your season on loan at West Ham, obviously, for yourself, one of your formative years, coming out to play in the lower league and to get your experience. So to come within the top three here, you must be really pleased with the fans voting for you for that.
Yeah, it's always nice to get a little bit of recognition. I think probably there could have been a lot of players that could have been in the top three tonight. I think everyone's been fantastic this season. But like I said, yes, it's nice to get a little bit of recognition from the fans. And yeah, I'm pleased to pick up the award.
And of course, you've got something. We just spoke to Darren Prattley, who's been through the playoffs as well. But you got to Wembley, didn't you, with Bradford City. So you know what's coming up. You know what it's all about. So are you able to, even with your youth on your side, are you able to impart some of that experience on your teammates, the likes of perhaps Naby, who hasn't been able to play at Wembley yet?
Yeah, I think obviously when you get to the playoffs, you can overthink it a bit in your mind. Naby's an experienced player, and he knows what he has to do week in, week out, and that's going to be the same in the playoffs. Nothing's changed. It's a normal game of football. And if we win three games now, then we'll get promotion. So you just have to break it down in your head, not overthink it too much. And we'll go there and try and win games as we have all season.
Now, this is a question for the two of you, but obviously Josh is a loanee and Naby coming back to the club over the last couple of years. The team spirit that we've seen at Charlton this year, if you go back 3 or 4 years ago, a relegation from the Championship, it felt like there was fractures in the squad and perhaps the team spirit wasn't quite there. Do you think, Naby, that Lee Bowyer has really fostered a team spirit this year, everyone playing for each other?
Yeah, of course. Like the mentality is different from 3 years ago. And I think we have more stability because 3 years ago we had three different managers in one season, so that was difficult. But yeah, I think Bo got this stability and fighting spirit for everyone here. Yeah.
And Josh, obviously, as a loanee coming in, sometimes throughout the years you get loanees and Charlton fans will say, oh, I'm not sure he's really that bothered to be here, but no one's ever questioned yourself with that. I remember actually the time you were doing the commentary with the lads up there, I think it was Bristol Rovers or someone.
And Sunderland.
We scored the goal, and I mean, you were celebrating, you and Paige, you were celebrating more than the fans, it seems. I mean, it feels like you've really bought into what Lee Bowyer is trying to achieve here.
Yeah, I think that's the minimum fans expect when you sign for a club, whether on loan or permanent, that you give 100%. And everyone around the place, from the staff to the players to everyone around the club, the fans, since I've walked through the door, they've been brilliant to me, so I feel like I owe it to them to give 100%. And yeah, it means just as much as to me as it does to the lads that are signed here permanently. So we're all, like you said about the team togetherness, we're all fighting for each other and fighting for the same goal. So I'm as fully involved as any permanent player is.
Now, of course, yesterday's third place finish. Now we know who we're facing. We're facing Doncaster Rovers. It's a side that we beat here at the Valley. Away from home, you sort of scored, but they took it away from you. Away from home, it was a funny game, actually, because we were probably on top until we scored, and then they came back into it, and then we might have got a bit of rub of the green with the offside goal that was ruled out late on. But we've shown that we can compete against this side. Obviously, we finished well ahead of them, but I guess results in previous games just go out the window when it comes to the playoffs, because, I mean, it's a lottery at times, but you certainly can't count on the fact that we've beaten them this season.
I mean, like you say, it's a game of football. We have 3 games left, hopefully, so we just go for the win. And we know our quality, we know what we can do, and I'm sure he's agreeing with me, we can beat any team, so we just go there confident.
Yeah, you're feeling confident, Josh?
Yeah, I think, like Nab said, I don't think any team we've played against this season we've come up against that we've been outplayed or they've been a class above us. We know we can play well against anyone, and that'll be no different against Doncaster. Obviously, we respect them. They're a good team. They're in the playoffs for a reason. They've had a good season, and it's going to be a tough task. But we're confident going into it that we can come out on top.
Abby, just a quick one from me. That free kick at Wimbledon. Yeah. Just talk about that, eh? You do that all the time? Training?
No, that was a one on one.
We've heard a rumour that you're the best finisher at the club.
Nah, they say this for fun.
You save him one
up
for the playoffs
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nabi, if you do that at Wembley in the playoff final, every single one of us will get your name tattooed somewhere on our body. So that's your challenge there.
I hope you're recording this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're recording this.
I am deleting it, though, if you do it, though. Right, excellent. Chaps, thanks for joining us. As I'm saying to everyone, all the best for next week and the week after. We're all really behind you, and we hope we can get to Wembley as well.
Thank you very much.
There we go. Nabi Sarr and Josh Cullen coming to speak to us exclusively at the Player of the Year dinner. I forgot that we promised to get Nabi Sarr's name tattooed on us if he scores a free kick at Wembley. So let's hope that we find a more conventional way to get promoted. I love, again, speaking to them and hearing how much calmer the players are compared to us fans, because it's clear, especially Cullen there as well. You know, he's been there, he's been to Wembley with Bradford City, so he knows what it's all about. It's you go through our squad. I mean, Chris Maxwell has been to Wembley with Fleetwood, unlikely to be involved, but Lyle Taylor scored at Wembley. Josh Cullen's played at Wembley for Bradford. I'm certain there's going to be more in there as well.
Prattley,
of course, yeah, with Swansea City, scored one of the greatest goals we've ever seen in a playoff semi-final, so if you can repeat that trip as well. So there's players who've been there and done that, which possibly helps to explain why there are so many calmer heads in the squad than there are in the supporters who haven't been to Wembley since 1998.
Yeah, and you talk about Maxwell probably not being involved there, but the experience that he can give someone like Dylan. Similarly for Prattley, yes, he's unlikely to play if we were to get there, but the experience he can give to the likes of Lapsley and Albie and even other more experienced players who just haven't played there is still going to be invaluable. And that's what this squad has. It just has such a good harmony. They're such a good group. And you're right there, just listening back to that interview, because that's the first time I've heard it back since Sunday. The word that you mentioned there, how calm they sound. I hadn't really noticed it at the time, but they do. They just seem focused. They seem ready. They seem relaxed. They seem happy. And it's not a surprise, because they are in a good run of form. But even the likes of Cullen and people who we've had here on loan, they really buy into what we're doing here, and they buy into Lee Bowyer. Taylor mentioned it himself. You know, it's the reason he signed for us. And there's just such a good group there. And you mentioned it earlier that maybe that's why we want this so much now, because we've got a group there that feel like they deserve to put the Charlton shirt on when they go out every week. And it hasn't always felt like that in the last few years, and we know the reasons behind that. But this group, I don't think there's one player in there that pulls on that shirt, and I don't think he deserves to or understands it. There might be players that we think maybe haven't done that well in the shirt, but the unity in that group, and they just get it. They get the club, and the fans are responding to that. And it would just be brilliant for all of that good to end with a promotion, because I think that's what everybody deserves.
Right. I think Sunday was probably the second or third time I've got to interview Nabi Sarr. At the start of every interview, he always starts off with an apology.
Sorry for my English.
Your English is better than Nathan's, be better so don't worry about it.
He always apologises for his lack of English, but like he literally does speak English better than Nathan.
Like perfect English.
Yeah, than some of us as well. Right, a couple of tweets came in. Mark says, "Hi, Lewin. Team so excited for Sunday. Going up on the away coach. Have such a good feeling about this playoff campaign now. Hopefully we can take a good lead back to the Valley. Brilliant ticket sales, home and away. Thanks all for the great shows." Cheers for that, Mark. Our absolute pleasure. Yeah, the ticket sales, home and away, have been brilliant. I dare say we're close to selling out. If you haven't got your ticket for the away game, then you need to act right now. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, it may even be too late because there's 100 left or something
like that, yeah.
So you need to get on the website right now to see if you can get one. And the home game, they're looking pretty close to selling out as well. Hopefully they'll be opening the closed blocks in the east and west stands soon as possible, so we can get that sold out as well. It's brilliant support, and it just shows the power this club still has away from what's going on, and also shows that the magic that Lee Bayer has sort of worked here as well at the Valley. Mark Anderson says, "We lead tedious lives, well I do, but to live for the days ahead. The rubbish that we've become accustomed to, well, what may be on the horizon, all I know, if there's going to be a show, then Charlton will be there, we'll be there." Well, let's have a very quick break, and then we come back and we're going to hear from Liam Hoden from the Doncaster Free Press to find out how Donny are faring ahead of the playoffs.
Switch across to left-hand side and Perrington's.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
A good one. Bielik looks okay for the time being. Perrington looking to try and look to take on Thompson. Instead goes back inside to Cullen. Needs a little bit of support. He turns. Works a bit of space for a cross. Cullen, ball into the box. Finds Aribo. Aribo! Aribo!
No! One! Joe Aribo
with a lovely turn inside the penalty area. His shot went across the face of goal. And McGilvery didn't even go for it in the end. It's past him and into the back of the net. And Charlton, just before half time, had the lead.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live here. The big match preview, the big match playoff preview, as I keep saying. We're looking ahead to the playoff semi-final, first leg away at Doncaster. Now we need to find out how Rovers are thinking about things. Liam Hoden's come on the show a couple of times throughout the year to preview games. I got him on the phone again during the week to find out how Doncaster are feeling ahead of the playoffs.
I think there's a fair amount of confidence. As much as I don't think they'd necessarily phrase it this way, I think it feels like a bit of a bonus. While the target from set by Grant McCann all along was a top six finish, they know that they're kind of the underdogs, and they've kind of relished that as well this season. Grant McCann made a big deal about them being written off. I think they were as short as 5-1 to be relegated. That's something that McCann's repeatedly brought up. So it is kind of seen as a bit of a bonus in that they'll go out and see what happens. The confidence that they can win promotion, that they can go through these games and get done what they need to get done. But they also know that it's going to be tough against teams that are much more fancied, that have been a lot stronger this season. You only have to look at the table to realise how far behind Doncaster are really in terms of the other three teams in the playoffs. But still going with a lot of confidence, and I think they did have a wobble going into the sort of final weeks of the season, but I think what now that they've got over that line, the pressure's kind of off, really. They were the team that were being chased, but Peterborough were sort of breathing down the necks all the way, and they obviously made it go down to the final game with that win that Peterborough had over Portsmouth. But yeah, I think now the kind of shackles will be off a little bit. Can go and play with the freedom that they were playing with earlier in the season, and look to cause what probably would be an upset.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the fact that Doncaster finished 15 points behind Charlton. So they will be going into it with the underdog tag. Is that something that Grant McCann likes to try and play on?
Yeah, definitely. He's spoken so many times about Rovers being written off, whether it was before the start of the season, but during the season, and this little bubble that they had at the end. I think a lot of people thought that they would kind of drop out and Peterborough would overtake them. And then, that being written off in this playoff campaign as well, finishing so far behind some very big clubs. So, yeah, he'll play on that, has played on that all season. And, I think he's sort of determined to prove people wrong along the way.
So what sort of shape do Doncaster feel like they are in coming into these playoffs? So we mentioned that little wobble, but just before that, they'd won four in the row, that sort of run that obviously put them in pole position. I mean, do you think they'll find it easy enough to sort of revert to that form as we hit the playoffs?
I think so. I think, as I say, the shackles will be off a little bit. I think very much this wobble that they had running up to the end of the regular season, a lot of nerves came into that. Excuse me, sorry. They were overawed quite a bit at Sunderland in a televised game. And then I think that really made them sort of, the doubts started to come into their mind. You could see it on the pitch. They played Accrington and were awful that night and lost to Accrington. They kind of steadied it a little bit again away at Oxford in what was a tough game. They got a point that kind of made sure that it was still in their hands going into the final day. And then they were through some early nerves in that final game against Coventry, but once they'd gone in front, the confidence seemed to come back, and they pushed hard for a second, which they eventually got. So I do think that they'll feel a lot more comfortable. They've got a fully fit squad to choose from. There's players that have come into form over the last few weeks, like Kieran Sadler, who's kind of been sort of on the fringes since he arrived at the club. So I think they're feeling in good shape. John Marcus, of course, as well, he's scored in the last two. So there'll be plenty of confidence. And particularly, obviously, the first legs at home, they've had a really good home record this season, only lost three times. So they're confident of being in a good position as they come down to the valley.
And of course, in the two league games throughout the season, Charlton were 2-0 victors at the Valley. Then there was a 1-0 draw at the Keep Moat Stadium, where it was quite an interesting game, really. But Doncaster were quite unlucky not to to have the winner ruled out right at the end. From seeing Charlton play this season, do you think that they'll prove a test for Doncaster?
Definitely. I look back to that first half at the Valley. Rovers started pretty well, but once Charlton got into the stride, Rovers couldn't deal with them, really. And once they'd gone 2-0 down, the game were completely over. But I felt that Charlton really exploited some vulnerability in Rovers, particularly sort of Charlton seemed to target the centre-halves with balls over the top and getting runners in, and that really seemed to cause Rovers problems. And then we had in the opening stages of that game at the Keepmore, Charlton started really, really well, and Rovers just didn't have a kick for the first 15 or 20 minutes. Sort of relentlessness from Charlton. So I think we've seen in the two league games that what Charlton can do and how they can hurt Rovers. Obviously, Rovers did well, and I do think they were unfortunate not to win that game at the Keymore. So I expect it to be a competitive game with sort of two sides that are really going to go for it.
And of course, the danger men for Donny, I mean, obviously John Marquise will stand out as a man who's got 25 goals, a South London boy as well. But is there anyone else who'll be up there that Charlton should keep their eye on?
Malik Wilkes, who, if I'm right in thinking, scored against Charlton at the Keepmore. He's on loan from Leeds United. Players either in a front three, the right side of a front three, or the right side of a three behind Marcus. He just loves to put inside onto his left foot. It's amazing, really, what he's done this season, and so many of his goals that he's scored, I think it's 16 that he's on so far, have been him cutting inside from the right onto his left foot and shooting low and hard for the near post. And the amount of times he has success with that or causes problems, despite the fact he's just doing the same thing over and over again, it's frightening, really. He's got so much power and directness. So he's one to watch. If he sort of gets his teeth into the game, he can be very, very dangerous. And a couple of midfielders as well. Herbie Kane on loan from Liverpool has been very, very good, particularly in the first half of the season. He's not quite replicated it over the second half, but he can do a bit of everything in midfield, break up play, got a really good eye for a pass, can score goals as well. And you can say the same about Ben Whiteman, the player of the year, really, who has kind of developed in a deeper lying role, but will also come forward, loves a shot from outside the box, and can pick a pass as well. So, yeah, there's some good players in this team. There's some good footballers. They have a good football inside, so players that can cause problems. And I can't not mention James Coppinger, 38-year-old, made 49 appearances this season, just signed another one-year contract, and he's still as dangerous as ever with what he can create.
So there we go, Liam Hoden from the Doncaster Free Press. Looking ahead to the game from a more Doncaster Rovers point of view. Interestingly, the way he describes it is almost a bonus, I guess, you know, and that underdog mentality. Grant McCann will certainly enjoy playing on that. He talks about how apparently they were as short to five at 5-1 to go down at some points with some bookies at the start of the season. So he loved the fact he keeps bringing that up, shows he's going to be playing on no one's ever believed in us, that sort of mentality. And it's a dangerous one, and that's why, you know, as conflicted as we are with our cockiness and then being scared, I mean, you've got to make sure that you do respect them.
Absolutely, we do. Yeah, we have to.
We believe and we respect.
Again, yeah. I'm just having a look, interestingly, on the odds, and we spoke the other week about it, saying Sunderland and Portsmouth were joint favourites. Well, us and Sunderland are now joint favourites, with Portsmouth dropping off. So, again, that kind of leads into the same thing, that people are backing us to do very well. But you're right, we have to respect them. And we've talked a lot over the last few weeks about how last season we were in it as underdogs, and obviously that didn't work out. So I'm wary of saying it's just going to work out for them because they're underdogs. But it is different because it's a different club. It's a different scenario. You're right. We have to respect them because sixth in this league is still very impressive. And you look at the teams above them, perhaps people wouldn't have expected Luton to be up there, but they were, and on merit. But in the other four clubs there, Barnsley, Sunderland, Portsmouth and us, they're massive clubs, massive, massive clubs, and clubs that have been in the Championship or higher for plenty of years in their history. And therefore, to finish just below them is absolutely no bad thing. And they've done so well to get there. And they're going to be a force at home. He spoke there about Wilkes and Marcus in particular. They're players we'd referenced earlier in the show. We referenced them in previewing all the other games. They've got some danger going forward, and they can score goals.
That Malik Wilkes in particular, in that game at the Keep, mate, he was a real handful on the ball, really difficult to get possession off him. Now, of course, we are talking ahead of press day, as I mentioned earlier on during the show, but I mean, there will be a couple of questions that you hope will be addressed during that press day that hopefully you'll be able to read online tomorrow. Igor, I mean, Boya said after the game on Saturday that he hopes to have him back. I know that there's plenty of rumours going around for sure, but I mean, you can only really go off on what Boya's saying at the moment. So if he's not there, it'd be interesting to see whether we, you know, match up. It sounds like Donny player three at the top, which is what Liam was saying there. Do we do similar? Because we have done that recently, and Williams, you know, maybe Reeves or someone similar, or will we go with the two with Parker? Another question in the middle of the midfield is, after Albie Morgan played so well on Saturday, I mean, will he be involved at some point over the next two legs? So there's some uncertainties, which again, I mean, the headaches are, in one case, is nice to have in the midfield. Not ideal up front if Igor is going to be out, of course, because he was on fire before that. But that uncertainty, in a way, will annoy Doncaster as well, because they'll want to know how we're setting up.
100%. Yeah, they're not going to know how to set up to match us, but you mentioned there whether we'll match them. For me, I don't think we do, unless Boya thinks that's the right tactics to beat them. I think he's done this ever since he's been Charlton manager, okay, over only a relatively short space of time. He looks at us first and foremost. He looks at the best way to beat them. If that is matching them up, that's what he'll do. But if he thinks our 4-4-2 can beat them, then that's what he'll play. That's obviously what he played up there last time. I personally obviously don't know enough about Igor's injury to say whether he'll be fit or not. But for me, even if he's only 70-80%, you just don't risk him. We've got a home game here. We've potentially then got a game at Wembley. Give him another week to get fit. What, you know, yes, Parker had another tough time at the weekend, but we spoke about it on the Player of the Year show. His movement and the way he played actually provided a lot of space for the midfield to run into. He set up Joe Aribo's goal with a little back heel. His movement created the space that let Albi play in Lyle Taylor for the third goal, I think it was. So he's not Igor, he's not Carlin, but he works hard, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him start, and it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Obviously, as we said again on Sunday, we just love him to get a goal. Mm. But if that doesn't happen, I think the work he puts into the team, it's more than just scoring goals, and Lyle's there to do
that.
It'd
be weird. I think looking at some of the comments on forums throughout the week, I mean, we know we got that sarcastic song again, yeah, as we mentioned, but I do think that by the end of the game, people are thinking, well, you know what, he's actually really trying hard here, and you know, he's not as technically gifted as Carlin Grant or Lyle Taylor. That's just the world. That's just the world we live in, unfortunately. And hopefully, you know, if he is up to top, you know, get behind him. Everyone will. There's going to be, what, 4,000 just under Charlton fans up there, and it's going to be a raucous crowd. You know, it's going to be a crowd so behind this team, because they have been all season, and that's what we want to see. Now, someone you can't accuse of being behind the team piped up again during the week, and normally this would probably be near the top of the show, to be honest, but I've just got so beyond caring what this man has to say at times that he's only getting a quick air in 10 minutes from the end of the show. Now, we all laughed at Sheffield Wednesday's owner about a week or so ago when he put up a message on the club's website congratulating Sheffield United on their promotion to the Premier League. It's not the sort of thing you want to see as a Wednesday fan. It's a bit embarrassing. It's completely pointless, because it doesn't win you any friends at Sheffield United. They're all going to suddenly start buying tickets for Sheffield Wednesday. You just look like an idiot in front of your own fans, and there's no need for it. So of course Roland Du Chatelet saw that. I thought, well, I'd best get in on the act as well. But
he likes being an idiot in front of his own fans.
He used his opportunity to have a pop at Charlton fans once again, which is just ridiculous. You know, everyone's trying to, you know, pull together as a fan base, and he just has to have his say. So there's one line on this statement that appeared on the club website congratulating the teams in our division that got promoted, Luton and Barnsley, and then he wants to pass his congratulations on to Norwich City and to Chris Wilder and Sheffield United on their respective promotions. Doesn't name Farker at Norwich, because he doesn't even know who he is, probably. Then he goes on to say, what Wilder has achieved with the playing budget he has is very impressive and something he, the club, and their fans can be very proud of. He came close to joining us in the summer of 2016 when we selected him to be our manager, but he decided to go to Sheffield United, where he knew he would be welcomed by everybody. While their seasons may be finished, we still have a very important few weeks ahead of us, and our focus has to be on getting promotion to the Championship. So why are you bringing up a feud with fans that you had 2 months ago as well? The staff, the players, and the Charlton fans have all played their part this year, and now we need one last collective push to give us the best chance of promotion. Now, I'd feel that those last two paragraph sentences, whatever, were a lot more sincere if he hadn't gone out of his way to put a statement on the club website to have a pop at fans. Now, you remember when he went on, I think it was Jim White's show, wasn't it? Yeah. He first brought up the idea that the reason Chris Wilder didn't come to the Valley was because of something on the Charlton Life Forum that said he'd be mad to come, which, I mean, judging by this statement, probably correct. And obviously he has done a brilliant job at Sheffield United, and I'll take my hat off to him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really care, to be fair. I'm not going to go out of the way to put a statement on my Twitter or anything like that. Now, why has he gone out of his way to say something this ridiculous, then not even mention Lee Bowyer's brilliant job as well?
Because he's an idiot. For me, that statement basically translates as Wilder's got a team to the Premier League. If it wasn't for you fans, Wilder would have got us to the Premier League. But as that isn't the case, and we've got Lee Bowyer, good work for getting us to the playoffs, and best of luck. And that's how it sounds. It sounds like he's trying to blame us for the fact that we're not about to get promoted to the Premier League, and instead we've got three extra games, which he makes sound like a bit of a hassle, to get promoted into the Championship. But like you said, you've saved it for the end of the running order. That's at best where it deserves to be. It didn't go on any of the club's social media, I don't think. Good. It's ridiculous. And the Sheffield Wednesday one, we all laughed. Again, I said before the show, when you or Nath put it on our WhatsApp group, I assumed it was a joke. I assumed one of you had mocked it up and and just copied, because it just read exactly like the Sheffield Wednesday one, but with the teams changed. And I laughed and thought, oh, that's funny, someone's done that. And then you said, no, it's genuine. I mean, it's a farce, isn't it? But just add it to the long list of things that we'll look back and laugh about once he's gone.
There was one going round after Liverpool and Joe Gomez qualified for the Champions League final, which I did make, and that was a farce. And I assumed everyone would be on the joke because it was so ridiculous, but quite a few people did think it was real. So
shows how mad he is.
Yeah,
it, really?
So yeah, it says a lot. Now, Bob Liscombe, let's concentrate on the football again. Bob Liscombe says, you have stolen my thunder, Louis. I was going to ask you to put out a request to back Josh Parker during the next two or three games. Now is not the time for silly songs. And Ray Bates he's tweeted this, and I've retweeted it so you can read it for yourselves, but he's imagining himself and his wife and all of us Charlton Live crew and Naby Sarr having a wonderful meal for his 38th wedding anniversary. So we're assuming that's tonight. Well, congratulations, Ray, and all the best, and congratulations to your wife for surviving 38 years with you and the dogs, of course. But I hope you've enjoyed the show and listened to Naby Sarr. He's got an earpiece in at the table while he's having the dinner, I think. Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, as we say, Ray Bates is up there as well, with a brilliant Charlton fan who loves the club. And there's so many of us, and I'm sure everyone listening to this show certainly is, but there's someone else who really just epitomises Charlton Athletic and Charlton Athletic women's team as well. Now, Kim Dixon is a Charlton fan through and through. She works for the Community Trust, so that's her job. She is just, I mean, she says it herself, she is the female Johnny Jackson. Yeah. She's been with the club, the women's team, since she was 8. She's now older than that, without going into specifics. She's been there the whole time. She hasn't played as much this year because, you know, you come into the end of your career, but she's coaching the team. She's coached young players for years and years. And as I say, of course, she's a massive Charlton fan as well. So at the Player of the Year dinner on Sunday evening, she was presented with an award for her services to women's football and to the Charlton Athletic women's team. And we sat down with her for another exclusive interview.
So we're delighted to be joined here on Charlton Live by Kim Dixon, who, of course, this evening won outstanding contribution to women's football. Kim Dixon, when people hear your name, I mean, they immediately think, of course, of the Charlton women's team, because you've been so synonymous with that outfit for, you say you've been there since you're 8, and now that's at least 10 years now. So
I'm longer than 10 years.
First of all, I mean, you've stuck with the club through thick and thin. Of course, you work with the Community Trust, Charlton fan as well.
Yep.
So it must be very special to win an award for the club.
Yeah, definitely a night like tonight. Obviously, Charlton are doing very well, and as a fan, it's great to be at an event like this. And to win an award is massive. Obviously, Charlton's in my blood, really. So I still want to be involved and things like that. So, and I think I'll always be involved in some way, shape or form. Obviously, I've not played this season, but hopefully going forward, coaching wise and things like that. I think they see me like the women's team of Johnny Jackson, if that makes sense. I think that's the sort of route we're going to go down next year.
Yeah, and of course, there's no greater honour than being the Johnny Jackson of the women's
team.
It's not
a bad honour to be. Yeah.
The women's team on the pitch this season have been a joy to watch. We've been down to quite a few games, so many good memories. But for a first season in the Championship to only just fall short of promotion to the next level up, and of course, and certain of a top four finish, still got a chance of finishing above Durham in third. I mean, you must be so pleased with how it's gone on the pitch.
I think they've done very, very well. I think they'll probably tell you as well, they probably have exceeded expectations of where they'd want to finish. So I think going forward, they're going stronger into next year. And Ratish, I know, will probably want to build a very, very good, strong squad for next year as well.
Yeah, and of course, Liz Ajupi won the player of the season, top scorer this year. Describe her as a new signing because she, of course, arrived from Aston Villa, but she has connections with the club going back years and years and years. I'm delighted to see her win the award this season.
Yeah, I've known Liz for years, like through, obviously, Centre of Excellence back in the day, where I think, I don't know if I coached or not, maybe I did, but makes me sound very old.
You've been through too many.
There is a few that I have coached in the first team at the moment. She's taking it in her stride really this year. I think she's used to the standard, which has been good, bringing a little experience, even though she's quite young herself. But she scored goals, and that's probably, you wouldn't probably think it if probably without Kit. And her and Kit have probably complemented each other. Obviously, Kit's been injured. Liz has popped up and scored goals. But next year, obviously, going forward, if Kit and Liz are both still firing, we're a danger to any team, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, what do you think the next step is for the women's team? We've seen the move to Crayford as well. Crowds are looking good. I mean, we were down there for the Palace game, and there's 500 there. I think Man U, there was even more.
People, 700 for Man U.
Yeah, people have really taken to it this year. I think that the club's coverage has been good. We always try and cover as well, and it's not because we're doing it because we have to. We do it because we enjoy it. Mm. I mean, do you think the next step is bigger crowds and next year really pushing for that top two? Because you've got a real chance with those two big teams gone. Yeah.
Obviously, to finish third or fourth this year, as I said, it will exceed expectations, probably what they wanted. They probably wanted mid-table, looking at the teams that are in the league. But next year, as I said, I don't see why not. With the firepower they got going forward, obviously a little few additions going forward, I think they'll be very, very strong.
Well, Kim, congratulations on your award this evening. Congratulations on being the Johnny Jackson of women's football.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming to talk to us on Charlton
Live. Thank you very much.
There we go, Kim Dixon, Charlton, through and through there, and she's as excited as we are for the playoff campaign coming up, but she's been a great servant to the women's team. Spoke to Ritesh as well, the manager there, and he had some very kind words to say for Kim as well, which hopefully we'll hear on a show coming up in the near future. Now, I tweeted up, you know, playoffs are coming up. I'm so nervous. I said at this afternoon on Twitter that I'm an 8 on the 1 to 10 nervous scale. I'll put it out there just to find out how people are feeling. And Alex Clark says that she feels a lot worse after this week's Champions League games proved that even if we win 3-0 on Sunday, it means nothing. That's why I said, I mean, until we're 300 to 400 goals to the good, I'm not gonna relax. Yeah. Dan Dempsey says no nerves yet, but at 12:15 I know I'll be shaking in the away end. Mikey McLaren says, I have playoff fever, I can't concentrate on my work. Crizzy says, I've been disappointed too many times, he's at 9.5. Oh, Mansfield have just gone one up in the first playoff semi-final, hopefully that'll be us on Sunday.
Even that makes me nervous.
And 100% Charlton said that they're at 5%. Rebecca says she's got no nerves yet, but it's all she can think about, and it's her birthday next Friday, so that could really ruin it, couldn't it? But she's hoping for a really good birthday. Lewis says he's at 11, Hannah's at 10, Martin's just saying he's trying not to think about the playoffs, Jack says he's less than last year, to be fair, he has faith in this team. Millie is at 25 out of 10 on the nervous scale. Right, there's plenty more of those tweets, but I haven't got time to read them all, unfortunately, because we have come to the end of this week's Charlton Live big match playoff special preview show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Paul Griffiths says he can't wait for Sunday. He's picking his dad up after the drive from Pompey on Saturday and staying overnight en route near Peterborough. Father and son weekend away. That's going to be a brilliant weekend, Paul. As I said, I'm going to be up in Doncaster on Saturday night, as are you, Tom. There's going to be a group of us there drinking away our pain and our nerves. And if we bump into you in the town, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you at the Key Moat Stadium on Sunday. Tom, it's been a pleasure.
It's another hour done, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, we're an hour nearer knowing what's going to happen and now an hour nearer where we need to be. I've been Louis Mendez. Thank you for joining us here on Charlton Live, the big match playoff preview. And we shall be back here next Wednesday evening. There's going to be no show on Sunday because we're in Doncaster. We'll be back here next Wednesday to look back at Keep Moat and look ahead to the Valley. Hopefully, we'll be in a very good mood. Godspeed, everyone. We'll see you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.